us now.
Okay.
Our God is good. And the word of God is true. When we read Solomon's word in Ecclesiastes and challenges youth to remember the Lord when they are young, before the days of humiliation or the evil days come, days when you lose your teeth, you lose your vision, you lose the stability in your legs, you lose your hearing, and you get a stroke. He mentioned a stroke. And there are those who wait until those difficulties come. And they say, I wish I had done A, B, C while I was young. And how many people play around with the opportunity that God gives them in youth and in adulthood until it's too late? How many people you know, young men and young women, younger than you, who have gone home? When I heard about the two brothers with stroke, stroke is not necessarily hopeless, you know. I remember caring for a patient who was in coma for 3 months, and that is way back in Guyana where things were not so sophisticated, and saw those patients walk home. A severe concussion puts you in a coma, and with time and prayer, the swelling in the brain decreases and your faculties might return. So very often it depends on the cause of that coma. But having an accident and a coma, it's not necessarily the end. But we keep on praying that the great physician will come in and touch. There are a few thoughts before me. And if you heard some of them before, blame your good memory. In 2 Chronicles chapter 26, there is a king who ascended the throne as a young man, did marvelously well. God blessed him with honor, with power, with wealth, with dignity. But in verse 16, but when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction, for he transgressed against the Lord his God by entering the temple of the Lord to burn incense on the altar of incense. And this good king fell in this danger when he became strong. Even we're told he was helped by God until he became strong. And when he became strong, his heart was lifted up. I don't know if for some reason King Uzziah remembered something that David said. For David, in the psalm, predates Uzziah. Thanks. In Psalm 29, in Psalm 29 and verse 9, the latter part of that verse, talking about God and the glory of God and the majesty of God. And he said, and in his temple, everyone says, glory. Well, this was not true in David's day, where everyone could go into the temple. But those who went in were struck with awe at the majesty of God. And what a thought. A thought of great anticipation, a thought of great opportunity, of great blessing. In his temple, everyone says, glory. We sang so many hymns this morning of glory, majesty that's attributed to the Lord Jesus Christ. But in this time and in the time of King Uzziah, it was not the privilege of everyone to enter the temple. God predicted a time when that would be possible. But Uzziah was anointed king. He was put in a preferred place because of God's anointing upon him. And one day he said, well, I am anointed to be king, to be ruler over God's people. Why shouldn't I be privileged to go into the temple? And when King Uzziah, and I recommend that you read the rest of that chapter, he was warned, king, it does not pertain to you. It's not your right. It's not your place. It's not your privilege. You are privileged to sit on the throne, but you are not privileged to enter the temple. And in pride, he might have said, move out of my way. He pushed aside the men who tried to restrain him. And when he attempted to get into that holy place, God smote him with leprosy. And then the men didn't ask him any more questions. They just pushed him out. That you have violated God's rule. You have taken to yourself prerogative which is not yours. And he was a leper until the day of his death. What a sad, sad ending to a man who otherwise was marvelous in his life as a young man, in his youth, wonderful. But pride came before the fall. But God had a plan that would give us all the prerogative to come into the temple and say, glory! When did that come about? We also pondered this morning the death, the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus. And in Matthew chapter 27 and verse 51, very often we quote that in our worship and our praise. So many things happened that day. Part of that day, we can sing, "O day of deepest sorrow, day of unfathomed grief, when thou wouldst taste the horror of wrath without relief." Stands of another hymn, "Jehovah lifted up his rod, O Christ, it fell on thee." What he endured at the hand of Jehovah, that we can be saved, that we can ultimately have the privilege to sing his praises. And that day that was so dark, that day that was so filled with wrath and sorrow. I think I said Matthew 26 and Matthew 27. Matthew 27 and verse 51. In verse 50, "And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. Then behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to the bottom. The earth quaked and the rocks were split." I have seen many men, women, and children die. I have held the hands of many dying folks. But nobody at the point of death yell with a loud voice. They may gasp. But no one in the point of death has the power to yell with a loud voice. But this man, this unique man, this second man, after all the agonies and Calvary, having drunk the cup to the last dark drop, having cried, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" And he came to the end of that journey, and he cried with a loud voice, "Finished!" All the powers of darkness could hear, "Finished!" All the angels of God can hear, "Finished!" And when he cried, "Finished!" God Almighty rent the veil from top to the bottom. And God was saying, "The door is now open, Uzziah. You rushed too soon. I had a plan for you to come in." Finished! God Almighty rent the veil. So graphic it is that when the New Testament opens up in Luke's account, it tells us of the priesthood that was still operational. Zacharias was burning incense at the incense altar, the same place that Uzziah wanted to go. And he was following the dictates of God according to the course of Abijah. And God said, Zacharias, you will have a son. His name will be John, and he would be the forerunner of my son, the Messiah. But Zacharias was in the temple. And Zacharias doubted. It was so difficult. And he said, but my wife and I are very old. We prayed for a son so long. I have reserved myself just to function here as a humble priest. He said, but Zacharias, I have brought word to you from the Lord. And are you doubting me? You shall be dumb, not being able to speak until my words come to pass. But while Zacharias was in the temple, when he came out, all the people outside, where they belong, waited for him. And when he came out and he could not speak, and they wondered what's going on, he signaled with his hand. And the scripture underscores the fact that we are approaching a period of transition where all the people were outside the temple because the way into the sanctuary was not yet made known. But when Jesus said, finished, and God rent the veil, the end of the book of Luke is that all the people were in the temple. Hallelujah. In Luke 24, all the people were in the temple praising God and worshiping God because the way into the sanctuary was now made clear and open. And that veil that kept people out before, the Shekinah, which no one can come into the holy place to see, it was that place that was so awesome. That in Isaiah 6, God gave to his servant a vision of that which is to come. And he saw the Lord high and lifted up. And he saw seraphim covering their faces, covering their feet. And they said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. Well. At that time, God said, and Isaiah declared, the earth was full with violence. There was wickedness and evil all over. The earth was not filled with God's glory then. But God was going to do something about that. In the death of the Lord Jesus, in the blood of the new covenant, where the Lord Jesus establishes redemption for us and also for his repentant people Israel, that will happen in the day to come. When the Lord Jesus sets up his kingdom to reign, the earth then shall be full with the knowledge of the glory of God as the waters cover the sea. You go to the sea and all is water, there's not one inch of the bottom of that sea that's not covered with water. All over. And the lion and the lamb shall lie down together, and a child shall play in the nest of a cobra and shall not be hurt. They shall not hurt, nor kill, nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be filled with a knowledge of the glory of God. As the waters covered the sea. So God showed to Isaiah that which is to come. Chapter 6. Chapter 7, God sent a vision, a prophetic word to King Ahaz. A virgin shall bring forth a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. We sang, Beulah Land, Emmanuel's land. Brother, sister, it's not a geographic place where you travel to. I have never arrived. But the day when Emmanuel reigns, when the earth is full with the knowledge of the glory of God, and then the Spirit of God came back to Isaiah. Well, he shall not only be called God with us, for unto us a son is given, unto us a child is born, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God. And the Spirit of God said, the earth shall be full with the knowledge of the glory of God. But let me tell you further how it will come to pass. For a virgin shall bring forth a son, miraculously. And when that son came, his name shall be Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And God would show him that Messiah will die, who had believed the report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord being revealed. He shall grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of a dry ground. Yet no form nor comeliness, and when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And Isaiah saw God revealing to him that this Messiah is not only going to be Emmanuel, God with us. He's not only going to be this man of despised and rejected, but the government of God's hand will be accomplished in his hand. It's this man that had the vision of what will happen in the earth to come. Uzziah wanted to enter the temple but couldn't. But in 1 Peter chapter 2, God says toward to us, 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9, to you saints at Lake Worth, to the saints of God in every quarter of the earth, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people, that's us Gentiles, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. And God is saying to us, beloved saints, as he will admonish the saints in Hebrews, because of all that he has accomplished, that I don't go to the temple, that we are the temple. We don't go to temple made with hands. Could you imagine if our security lie in the majesty of Solomon's temple. It was the greatest structure perhaps the world has ever known. But when the people of God turned away from their God, God brought his servant Nebuchadnezzar to destroy that temple. Oh, I wonder what the heart of God might have felt when Ezekiel says he saw the Shekinah moving from the temple, moving from the holy place, and it came over the threshold. And nobody cried, and nobody said, "Oh God, we have sinned." And the glory moved over the treetops. And they saw the Shekinah moving to the tops of the mountain. And they saw the Shekinah moving and disappeared up to heaven. And that glory remained in heaven until there was a man who came, and he said, the apostles said of him, "We beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten." They saw the glory of God when they saw Jesus Christ, the Son of God, coming in the flesh. The glory that left the people of Israel. The Shekinah that left even Solomon's majestic temple. The glory returned in the person of the Lord Jesus. And we say, beloved, we who have confessed faith in him, how can we not be excited about the Lord Jesus? Let's close with Hebrews 10, reading from verse 19. God has brought us into a beautiful place. We are the temple. We are living stones. There were choice stones in Solomon's temple. They were cut and shaped in the quarry. But God has brought us in. And while we are in the temple, the Spirit of God shapes us. How wonderful it is, beloved, that with all of my roughness and the unevenness, he did not wait to shape me up and then brought me in. While I have come into the temple of God, the Spirit of God, he is still working on me, and he is still working on you to bring us into conformity with his mind. Therefore, in verse 19, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, God rent the veil, by a new and living way which he has consecrated for us through the veil, that is his flesh. And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. Verse 24, let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as we see the day approaching. A day is coming when we will be brought home. A day is coming when our journey is over, when our labor is over. And today, fellow pilgrims, weary and footsore, as we move along, We raise our eyes and said, sunset is coming, but the sunrise we'll see. Sunrise we'll see. When we hear the voice, raise up, my beloved, and come away. He will come and take us to be with himself. Opportunities to work is over. We work today. We might run as soldiers. I write unto you, young men, because you are strong. And even while the young man Joshua was fighting in the valley, the old man Moses was sitting on the mountain top with his hand uplifted. And this man's hand got tired. He's not a young man of 40 any longer. His hands got tired. But it's essential that his hand be kept uplifted, because when his hands came down, Amalek prevailed. And so two brothers came. One on this side, one on the other side. And he kept Moses' hand uplifted. And when Moses' hands are uplifted, victory. Oh, we thank God that our great high priest is sitting. And his hands are uplifted. And he never tires. He never goes to sleep. But we, if we cannot fight as Joshua did, can we uphold the hands of a Moses? We don't uphold the hands of the Lord Jesus. But how much we need to uphold the hands. The families of Barry and Lloyd expect us to uphold their hands. The families of many saints expect us to uphold the hands. Many saints who are weeping over their children, who are prodigals today. Young men and women who went to Bible camp, who sang the songs of Zion, many who preached God's gospel in their youth. You look for them and they are not to be found. Paul said, Timothy, Demas had forsaken me, having loved this world. Not necessarily, he used to quote, evil world. No, this present world. It can be the world of work, the world of pursuing education, the world of pursuing promotion, loving this world. God expects us. Recently, I become so impressed how much we need to pray for our children and our grandchildren and the children of the saints, because those that we thought were going to be with us in the assembly, they are someplace else. There are parents whose hearts are broken over their prodigal sons and daughters. Children of God, pray, uphold the hands. Uphold them. So I may not be able to run like Joshua, but I can sit on a rock with my hands uplifted. And we as saints uphold the hands of each other. May God help us. God has brought us into a great and blessed place, a place that the great King Uzziah desired but had no privilege to go there legitimately. We have been brought into such a place. Let us hold fast. Let us stand fast. Let us encourage one another, because there is nothing better on this side of heaven. May God encourage us in his word, for his name's sake. Amen. Let's pray. God, our Father, we thank you that you are our God and Father. Not only you are a God of great blessing, but you're even a God of a second chance. You do not cast us away. You provide an advocate and a great high priest for us. We pray, Father, that we would be filled with joy to press on. That we would be filled with joy and excitement to say, like the psalmist, I was glad when they said, let us go to the house of God. But, oh Father, our hearts still remember today many of our dear young people who once ran, but today they don't run any longer. We pray for them. And we are encouraged, Father, by Aaron and Ur, that we would keep up lifted hands even for these. We thank you for the help you have given. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your spirit. And we pray your rich blessing on our lives. We give you thanks, Father, in the precious name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen.